To begin right now, we've already had a roll call. We've been in executive session about some real estate and personnel stuff, I should say. So we can pledge allegiance to the flag. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have a...
One second.
The executive session was for the purpose of collective bargaining and items of personnel related to hiring, so just for the record, thank you.
Do we have approval of the minutes?
Move approval.
Second, all in favor, aye. Financial report.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good morning, everyone. Bear with my summer cold. You can hear me okay? Through July 31st, our financials are on page one. Highlighting some things, our property taxes are showing about $4 million ahead of estimates through July. That is merely a timing difference. Actually, our advance two was about $3 million more than our advance three we just recently received in August, so that will reverse itself out in August. It's a good sign, though. It means that the county is collecting their taxes in a more timely manner and processing, so that's a good thing. So our advance two was higher. Grants really caught up in July. We're only behind $351,000 year to date. Golf also caught up a little bit in July. We're about $40,000 ahead of what we expected for July. Although year to date, we're still down about $303,000 from our estimates. Interesting to note, though, that through July this year versus last year, we're already above last year's amount by $26,000 of what we made last year. So we set ourselves a little bit of a higher expectation with golf this year. Zoo also had a bad July. Attendance is down, and so is memberships at the zoo. In July, we always receive the first half of the year memberships. So that was actually down about $300,000 from prior years, from last year.
Thoughts on why or?
Attendance to the zoo is down, memberships follow with that.
So do you think it's down though because we had bigger exhibits and so people were joining and now they've seen that and done that?
Well, certainly a large exhibit such as African Elephant Crossing has a dramatic impact.
Yeah.
So we're still feeling a little bit of the trail off from that, I think. We hope, you know, with some new lively exhibits in the future, yeah, next year, that we can start bringing some of those patrons back. Other items on the revenue side I've mentioned more extensively in June. On the expenditure side, position management is now at about $1.4 million in savings through July. In our budget transfer today, we are going to utilize a little bit of that to do some more road paving than anticipated. So that's a very positive use of some of those position management savings. And a lot of the capital project timing differences that we've been talking about. We're rejuggling a lot of our capital project dollars today, also in our budget adjustment too, that you'll see later. So if you eliminate a lot of those timing differences, overall cash balances were about $3 million ahead of where I expected through this point of the year. So looking good.
Dave, is there a way to get to break out the sort of chalet, restaurant, and concessions so we get a little more understanding of how we're doing on each of them?
Right.
I mean, for example, I think one thing that's important is to understand that we're breaking even on certain things that we want to break even on. Like if we can't, we shouldn't be losing money on a restaurant.
Right.
So we should be tracking that a little bit to try to understand that better. So my feeling would be the line item on the summary. I'm sure if you go through the math, which I have not done, you can dig it out there. But I think it'd be nice to be able, since these are new projects and they're to see kind of how we're doing on this broad sheet. If you have a little more room on the sheet to be able to do it.
Well, for sake of space, you're right, I have tried to consolidate as much of that
right
as possible.
But those are quite important. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you can pool the restaurants together. without including the zoo, or some way to make it so we can see how we're doing on the new stuff.
Sure. And what I have chosen to do up until this point is focus on that at the quarterly update. So
yeah.
At the last meeting, I did the highlights through the first half of the year, and I focused extensively on a lot of those individual units you're talking about, with East 55th Marina,
yeah,
Huntington Beach Concession, and Edgewater Concession. So all of those were reported more extensively last meeting.
I missed that meeting. Okay, very good, very good. Let's see, do we have any public, is that the end of your?
It is, yes, thank
any
you.
Any public comments?
Please.
Yes.
Good morning. For nearly a century, Big Metro Parks excelled at showing visitors that going outdoors and enjoying natural surroundings was pleasurable in itself. Play experiences help restore their minds and bodies. This approach not only held to the park's mission, but earned them generations of devoted supporters and connected multitudes with the natural world and thus themselves. None of this required drinking alcohol. Now in a short time, this has been turned on its head. The new line is you need a drink to have a good time. Alcohol is good and good for you. Natural areas were not preserved for decades just so present leaders could come along and throw frat-type parties and sell booze. The lakefront is reimagined as wall-to-wall Wendy Park, where Commissioner Moore committed to spending $250,000 a year for security. Edgewater could just have been cleaned up and made family-friendly without substituting other injurious activities. One or two quiet events would not be so bad, but weekly bashes are over the top, even under the guise of raising trail money. Besides, the salaries to support staff and enforcement may equal them out. But this new generation needs this, you say. Young adults for years claim to need booze. Luckily, responsible adults have had the sense to restrict its use. A recent public health paper states, quote, this study shows that alcohol policies matter, and matter a lot, for reducing persons' risk of binge drinking, which is a leading cause of premature death and disability in the U.S. You may be checking incoming license plates. Who is screening for outgoing DUIs? Who is responsible, legally or morally, for an accident? Conservation, education, recreation has been quoted as an all-purpose mantra. These words were settled on by the previous administration after much discussion over whether recreation could even be included. They decided that, quote, enjoyment of natural areas could be extended to include some recreation. Organized sports promoted by paid lobbyists hired by the sporting good industry is not what they intended. Then you decided what direction you wanted to go and wrote a new mission statement to include those plans, which you now cite as your justification. Nowhere in the founding legislation is there any mention of economic development. Nowhere is promoting brew pubs and creating restaurants to compete with private businesses suggested. In fact, it is a contradiction at best, and outright favoritism at worst. Redefining park use just to draw crowds, working to hawk food, drinks, or stuff, is totally counter to the peaceful places imagined when Stinchcomb began. It belongs on midway or sporting event. You devalue and contradict history when you make that claim. It is an inappropriate use of what is preserved and protected as natural resources. Fairgrounds, city lands, private centers are already available for such events. The city and county aren't protecting our natural areas, yet you are taking on their jobs and degrading our parks.
I'd like to comment on a little bit of that. The issue of whether to serve beer and wine is a subject that has come up numerous times. And I think the first day we had our Edgewater, I went out and counted the people that were drinking beer. And it was somewhere between a quarter and a fifth of the people that were there. So it is not viewed by the public as being, if you want a beer, you get a beer. You don't, this is not, they're not binge functions by any means. They're intensely popular. They're not unlike the you see on other lakefronts. So in my opinion, I think we've struck the right balance. I think that having, if they turn into fraternity parties, it's a whole altogether different thing. But right now, I think we've got it right, and I don't think there have been any instances of drunk driving. They certainly, they're over it. It's over at what?
8:30 to 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it's
over when it's still light. I think we're doing the right thing here, and I think most people would agree with us, and we can certainly poll that in the future to confirm that. But I think we're doing what the public wants us to do. Many more people are enjoying the lakefront than have in the past. So we're succeeding in that regard. Let's see. I think we're ready, Brian, for your new business and CEO report.
Thank you very much. This morning we have two retiring guests with us. The first one is Donna Parrish, real estate paralegal.
I think many of you know of when we reported. Actually, Donna Stanarczyk team reported about last year, 2013, being a record year in our real estate transactions. And it was very memorable because of the lakefront transaction. But the lakefront transaction was not the only transaction that happened. It was, I think, since the early 50s, the largest land transactions that we've engaged in. So Donna Parrish now is tired. She's leaving us. But since I've been here for 3.5 years, Donna Parrish has been the steward of getting the real estate transactions closed. While we have had so many multiple complicated issues, she has been my right hand and steadfast source of making sure these deals close. She's a pit bull, she's tenacious, and almost all of them closed on a targeted time. So I can't thank her enough for the tireless efforts. In my short tenure, she came here in 1999, so she has many years serving the Metro Parks in such a very effective way with our land acquisitions in making sure those transactions come to close, because that is a very challenging effort and feat. And then, of course, last year with the lakefront transaction, I mean, we worked around the clock. We had a very short window from March through June to bring that deal together, and Sundays, evenings, we were, working on that. So I can't thank you enough for all of your work during our short time, but it was a very productive time, I feel. So congratulations to you and your effort here.
If Rose wouldn't have included the pit bull or the bulldog analogy, I certainly would have added to that. There were countless times, probably more than a dozen, that transactions wouldn't have closed without Donna's her business prowess on how to close a deal. She helped a lot of folks see the light through the tunnel to actually close the deal out. So I'm very much appreciative of all of her work and years of service to Cleveland Metro Parks. Again, conservation, protecting 23,000 acres here is truly impressive. So thank you very much for your time and talents.
This has just been a truly memorable and exciting time in my life. I'll never forget it. I don't want to cry. It's been wonderful working with Rose, with Brian. She's just an awesome boss. On the left hand, she's very caring, very understanding. But on the right hand, she's very demanding and attention to detail and total perfection. So I always try to deliver, and it's been great. And then the other person, Debbie, I've worked with her numerous years, and it's been wonderful. And then Donna Stubnars. When Donna started, her and I meshed in the middle. We got it all together, and then I closed her out. So, and there's great staff on board now, so I think it'll all work out good. But thank you.
Our next retiring guest we have with us is George Sterling.
When I came back to the Metro Parks in 2008, my office was in the rainforest, and
at that time, and for a long time prior to that, George Scarrow was maintenance in the rainforest, which is about 7 full-time jobs in and of itself. But George was invaluable to me in getting used to that building and figuring out where everything was and what to do when the fire alarms went off, and a lot. But what George brought to the organization, and probably what we're going to miss most about his departure, is the fact that he not only has the technical skills that you have to have working in facility operations, but he also has a very innate artistic ability. George, I just actually didn't even know that George painted the mural in the entrance to Premier Cat Aquatics. One of the major projects he's been working on since I've been back is a lot of the fiberglass tree repair in the rainforest, all those artificial trees. It seems like it would be easy to make a tree, but it's not. It's a combination of skill, not only to be able to use the product, but then be able to paint it. And George always had a great eye and brought me in a lot to say, you know, I want this tree to look a little bit different. What if we make this one lighter or make this one darker? And I think it's that attention to detail that has continued to make the rainforest a great opportunity for our guests. So I'm going to miss George. I'm not sure that he would really be going if his grandkids didn't move within a couple hours here recently. So I know he's looking forward to spending time with them, but I know that we're going to miss him.
George, come on. It's always interesting to learn a little bit more about each individual retiring guest. With over 550 full-time employees, you don't get to know all of them as well as you'd like, but one of the very unique things about George's is that throughout his career, letters of commendation, and that says a lot about his customer service to Cleveland Metro Park. So again, congratulations on your more than 20 years. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You know, over the 21 years, I come from Builder Square, so it's from Builder Square to this. A lot of stuff that I've learned was really here, and I really, there's a lot of knowledge, a lot of things that you have to pick up, and you kind of have to take it by the ropes, by the leads, and just go with it. And you try to help everybody out, as you were saying about the compliments, and helping people out in the public. There's a lot of compliments to that, and you try to bring forth that. And like, if you know, if I'm wearing my shirt out in public, I have a lot of compliments saying, "I really enjoy the zoo. I really like it." I think 9 out of 10, everything's been a positive attitude, a positive comment towards the zoo. And I think everybody here should feel really dedicated and really happy. And one of the things I like to tell you is, everybody's under a lot of stress, a lot of just everything, you know, with the public, with everything, you know, I'm trying to say. What you have to do is kind of stop and smell the roses a little bit. Love the person that you're with, and everything will be fine. Mm-hmm. I appreciate this very much, and I thank you very much.
Congratulations. The recommended action honoring our two retiring guests, both on the bottom of page 4, Donna M. Parrish and George Scarrow, for their years of service to Cleveland Metro Parks.
Move approval.
Second. On favor. Aye.
The next action item we have is budget adjustment number 2. David.
Thank you, Brian. As I mentioned, this is our budget adjustment number 2. We typically will do 4 a year. Type 1 transfers are just rejuggling amongst different accounts. Type 2 transfers are all very positive stories. They're actually increases in our budget due to outside grants and donations that we received. So this type 2 appropriation increases total to about $1.3 million. The largest contributor to that is the Aramark money for the new Stillwater Lodge Event Center. And then 17 other restricted funds that we received just through the last quarter that we're increasing the budget for. So a very positive story. Lastly, I mentioned the salary savings and some rejuggling of money from our other capital projects to accomplish some more road paving. Much needed road paving.
Recommended action falls on the top of page 5.
Move approval.
Second. In favor.
Aye.
Next action item we have is the tentative agreement, labor agreement with the Fraternal Order of Police. Harold, I'll just ask you to bullet point a couple of real quick things. The action item is all on the top of page 6. Harold.
Good morning. August 8th, the FOP ratified the union contract for 3 years, and the document that you have in front of you outlines the financial package that we agreed to. One of the things that I want to address is the fact that we had a good working relationship with FOP, so it was a good opportunity to clean up some of the things that we thought were things that we wanted to bring back to management rights, and we were able to do that. One thing I want to highlight is the fact that we had the opportunity to change how the scheduling is when it comes to special events, and that was something that the FOP agreed to. So we think it's a great opportunity between the Metro Parks and the FOP, and we have a contract up until December 31st, 2016.
Thank you very much. Recommended action falls on the top of page 6.
Move approval.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
The next action item we have is a authorization to submit applications to the OB&R for their Nature Works program. We'll break out very briefly the three projects that we'll be applying to. Donna, would you like to highlight them?
Sure. Nature Works is a state program that OB&R administers specifically for park improvements and park rehab. And what's nice about NatureWorks is they divide it by county and they set aside allocations by county. So because we have parkland in several different counties, we can actually apply for Cuyahoga, Lake, and Medina. So the map that you're seeing there is the Cuyahoga project. It's for the Ackerman property that Brian and the mayor, Stefanik of North Royalton, worked out an agreement that we partnershiped on the acquisition for. It was about 12 acres, and we're going to be doing some improvements under Sean McDermott's group to put in a picnic pavilion and kiosks and tie into the Emerald Necklace Trail. So that project, we're asking for $90,000 in NatureWorks money. We're putting in a match for a $145,000 project. The next project is one in Lake County. It's a trail-oriented project. It's going to there's so many bootleg trails all along the river because people like to fish along there, walk, jog. And so Ralph on Jim Rostrum's crew has identified this as a great section to actually put in a better, you know, sustainable trail. Then you could either park at Squires and come on down past the Oxbow and then all along the river, all the way down to Rogers Road. So this project, we're putting in a grant for $21,000, almost $22,000 in grant dollars, and it'll be matched all by in-house labor for a project cost of a little over $29,000. The last project is one in Medina County. This is along Hinckley Lake, which is our largest inland lake in the Cleveland Metro Park system. And Jared Picard has identified that the boat docks that are there that service the boathouse and fishing have been in existence for over 20 years and are in need of replacement. And he wants to replace them with some sustainable materials, recycled materials. And so we're putting in a small grant here, asking for $10,760 in NatureWorks funding. And we're putting in the required match at just under $4,000 for a project cost of $14,355.
Thank you very much. It's a great opportunity to shore up a few more of these areas and again put it back into the park system. The recommended action, if there are no questions, falls on the bottom of page 7.
Second. Aye.
Next action item we have is a something that we've learned from the last board meeting. We underestimated a little bit of what how much people love ice cream in Huntington Beach. We need to come back to the board to revise the contract with Mitchell Brothers based on consumption. We are looking at increasing $25,000 for the various 2.5 gallon buckets of Mitchell ice cream for a total cost estimate not to exceed $75,000. Recommended action falls in the middle of page 8.
Move approval.
Second.
We will move into bids, calculation of award and bids. We have three very unique ones. Sole source renewal, 5, 8, 653 for eucalyptus browse. Just a bit of note, this secured through two locations throughout the United States. It's for a variety of different reasons. If planes cannot land or we cannot get a supply of it, they're able to secure the eucalyptus that the koalas so desire. So that's why we have two locations. Bid number 6006 is the North Chagrin parking lot retrofit. This is coming back to the board now as we've gotten bids within our range. Jim, anything you want to add on that project? Jim, Sean?
Sure. Yeah, we're excited to bring this forward. Now, we actually did this back in the spring, and now that we're bringing it back to you, we are within our engineer's estimate. We're going to be removing about 60 parking spaces, including bioswales and plantings that will enhance that parking lot and handle the stormwater runoff.
Excellent project. That's part of the SMIP grant. Then we have bid number 6008, which was part of the budget adjustment. I'd like Jim just to give a quick briefing on that. It's really interesting to note of all the paving that we have going on throughout Cleveland Metro Parks, the work that we have completed in a variety of different reservations. So Jim, anything you'd like to add on this one?
Yeah, it's basically paving from Detroit Road to Rocky River all the way up to, Wallace Lake and Mill Street, and then a section of Brexhill that's been problematic for the last couple of years. So it's about 15 miles full. Great opportunity.
And we're shoring up the last little bit in Mill Street reservation.
Correct, yeah. So from Bagley Road to Wallace Lake, it's the section of Mill Street. It's about 1.8 miles of Mill Street.
The recommended to award to Cargo Paving. They've also done Euclid Creek Forest. They've done parts of Mill Street Run before, North Chagrin, Bedford, and we did complete Brookside most recently as well. We may come back and forth to a change order if we can come to, we have a couple other areas of concern that we may look at going into winter if we have enough time. So the recommended action for all three awarded bids is on page 9.
Second. On favor, aye.
We have the approval of vouchers and payroll on page 17.
Which is resolution 1408127. The following vouchers have been reviewed as to legality of expenditure and conformity with the hiring vice code.
Second. On favor, aye.
We have no old business. We have with us this morning two briefing items. We have the first one. We have two employee guests. We have with us Kelly Kaufman and Sarah Meyer. Donna? Thank you very much and welcome. The next information item we have is the semi-annual grant update. Donna, would you just like to tee it up? It's Donna's show on the information. So we'll turn it back over to the rest of our team.
Thank you. You've already heard me talk about, so I'm just going to go ahead and hand it off. This morning, our grants team, and they'll update you on where we are. We are doing it semi-annually, and so this goes through June. We've continued to get grants in for the last month or so, but we're going to highlight the grants and all the work that they've done. Kristen has done a wonderful job at funding the Nature Tracks vehicle that you see in front of you. Just a great effort in bringing in like over 10 foundations to fund the project. And you know, Jen continues to be great support, and she has led the effort on a very large land acquisition grant, which is great. So please take my spot.
Good morning. So for those that I don't know, I'm Kristen Trolio. I'm the Grant and Outreach Coordinator here.
And I'm Jen McCandless Harvey, Grant Specialist.
So Donna mentioned the Nature Tracks vehicle, and we wanted to start out with this slide because we are very, very pleased to announce that we have met and exceeded our campaign goal for the Nature Tracks vehicle and bringing in $345,000, or yes, which was $6,000 more than we were aiming for. So it was a mix of private foundations and the Emerald Necklace Endowment Fund and some planned gifts through Karen Cannenberg. And the vehicle is here. It's in BizCom. That is the actual picture of the outside of it, and they are working on the interior exhibit. So within a month or so, it should be done and ready to launch and be used by school. I know that outdoor experiences is extremely excited to get moving with their new vehicle. So we broke the grants that we have received. Again, this is from January 1st through June 30th into three categories: facilities, land and natural resources, and then new initiatives, including trails. So we just highlighted a couple examples from each category, and the full list is in the board packet for you. So with facilities, we've received 7 different awards from 6 different agencies. And the first one that we wanted to bring to your attention is through the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. They have a program called the Clean Vessel Act, which actually funds new pump stations and lift stations for marinas. With the thought of keeping the marinas clean by properly disposing of waste from boats. And so we received money for new pump out stations at both Wildwood and East 55th Street marinas. These are pictures of our old pump out stations, which have been there for quite some time and have kind of been retrofitted and just really in need of total replacement. And so along with the East 55th Street one, also part of the dock will be rebuilt with the new pump station. So those will be going in the springtime.
Did those grants pay for the entire program here, or did we have to add?
No, it paid for the entire pump station. So for Wildwood, it's a little over 10 grand, and for East 55th, it's about 22,000, because we're putting in some new dock with it as well. But that one is all paid for.
I had one more thing to add about the pump stations. I just wanted to say I always enjoy our board meetings because we get to talk about things as diverse as large purchases of ice cream, and you can look to sleep for the koalas, and things as mundane as pump stations. So, but we've had lots of success with the Division of Watercraft. There are 2 grants pending with the Division of Watercraft for cooperative boating facilities, and then for many years, Cleveland Metro Parks has been awarded Ohio Division of Watercraft boater education grants for boating equipment.
And one thing interesting we learned through all of this is ODNR gets their funds for all of these programs through a 0.5% tax on motor fuel. So that's where all of their funding comes from. Thought that was interesting, and it kind of then speaks to why they're interested in recreational boats, because those are the boats that are.
And we found out it's a tax on all motor fuel, not just marine motor fuel. So the Burning River Foundation has an interesting story behind it. This is a local Cleveland foundation supported by the Great Lakes Brewing Company, among others. And we have worked with them over the past 2 years. We applied for a grant from them last year and were declined, which is not uncommon. But then we kept up a dialogue with them and applied again and revised our approach and were awarded a grant to pay for water bottle filling stations in the parks. And the other interesting thing is, in estimating our costs and prices, we were a little high for the project and there was leftover funds. And by working with the foundation, we were able to ask them to fund a third water bottle filling station in our administrative office hallway here that was actually had already been installed. So our next section is about land acquisition and natural resources. This total is for three grants, and we're going to talk about two of them here. The Clean Ohio Conservation Fund is something that Cleveland Metro Parks has been behind for many years, and it funds 75% of land acquisition costs for qualifying projects. And through a lot of diligence ahead of time, through Donna's work, property was lined up to apply for the grant. It's an 80-acre property in North Royalton, one of the largest undeveloped properties in the county, and Cleveland Metro Parks now owns it, thanks to Donna Parrish's work too. It closed on July 10th, and is part of Millstream Run Reservation. The Clean Ohio Conservation Fund process is almost year-round and can start again for the upcoming year as far as the committee, the local committee that revises the guidelines and works on those and sets the dates for all of the deadlines throughout the year.
Our second project that we wanted to talk about was is a sulfur springs restoration project in the South Chagrin Reservation. And this was awarded through the Ohio EPA under their Section 319 program, which refers to the Clean Water Act. And the program is basically to restore impaired waters throughout the state of Ohio. And we worked with the Chagrin River Watershed Partners because Sulphur Springs is part of that watershed area. This is a photo of the Lambert property that was recently acquired by Cleveland Metro Parks. And a lot of the property, as you can see, is forested land, and there are some sections of Sulphur Springs that run through the property. But the kind of bare strip that you see in the middle of the photo is an old air landing field strip. And so this grant will pay for restoration of that section of the property. So we'll be breaking the drain tiles and pulling up any of the rubble and restoring it to a wetland habitat, some of the fungus and wetlands there. And our third category we wanted to talk about are new initiatives in trails. We have received five different awards from five different agencies, and we are going to discuss three of them.
The William J. and Dorothy K. O'Neill Foundation is a private family foundation in the Cleveland area. And this is another one where we had applied once, and they did award us this on our second effort. And this is the first grant to support the new Garfield Park Center for Urban Agriculture. And though it is for $23,000, it I think is going to be very key in raising additional dollars, because what it will do is help us survey the community and find out their particular interest in regard to our future program at the site, and also look at other urban agriculture efforts in the area, so that we're starting off the project with the information that we really need to make the decisions. And Your Parks, Your Stories is a grant from the Ohio Humanities Council, and this is a project that Foster Brown is already working on, and it is in part in conjunction with the Cleveland Metro Parks Centennial. And it's a very interesting project that will span almost 4 years, and part of what Foster is doing is collecting oral histories from people who live in our area and are familiar with the parks, and taking those and curating them into different ways that people can then understand them through exhibits, books, that kind of thing, as part of our centennial anniversary. So the Ohio Humanities Council does not have a lot of money. They told me when we first applied that it would be very unlikely if we were awarded a grant, but we went forth and made our best effort and asked them for $20,000, and they came back to us with $10,000. So that's going to support the Eagle Parks Restores project.
How many people will be doing that? Is there a sense of the full scope, or just keeps going until?
For your Parks Restores?
Mm-hmm.
Foster has plans to be out every weekend at every Cleveland Metro Parks event this summer and next summer, and as much as possible in the winter. And so what he, how it generally would operate is he has his park vehicle and then a trailer with some recording equipment, and that then he'll go to the events, and then there are volunteers who kind of recruit individuals who might be have something to share, and then they can either have a history recorded right then and there, mm-hmm. or they can make an appointment. And then he's also doing outreach to places like retirement homes and other places where there might be people who have a memory to share.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
The next one that we wanted to share is an award for an organization called People for Bikes. This is actually a national organization, and so they do receive applicants from throughout the United States, so we were really excited to receive an award from them. We received some money to do the next segment of the Riverwalk Trail down at Rivergate, which will connect Columbus Road to Merwin's Wharf through Hart Green Park, where you can see in the lower photo. And I'm sure everyone has seen, but the upper photo is a picture of the first phase of the Riverwalk Trail that is already complete down at Rivergate. And they were, the organization People for Bikes was really intrigued with the location of Rivergate, just its location down in the flats and its ability to serve all the communities around there were some of the reasons that they chose this out of the nationwide pool. So they're excited about that one.
How much money was that?
$10,000. Mm-hmm. And so we always come up here and like to tell you about grants that we received, and then we feel like we never really get to tell you what happens with them. And so we just wanted to do a quick update on a couple grants that were have been completed recently and have been a lot of fun to work on. And we just thought maybe Bert was cute and something. So I think you all are familiar with our new bike box that we have down at Edgewater Beach. This was an award through the Charter One Foundation with Bike Cleveland and Land Studio, and we just wanted to show a picture of our complete bike box for anyone who has not seen it. So it was constructed locally by Rustell Welding, and then earlier in June, Brian and the president of Charter One and Land Studio had a nice photo opportunity there at the bike box, and it was kind of unveiled to the public. So it is there and it is used. I should have put a picture with bikes in it, but it is heavily used during the event at Edgewater.
And the Cuyahoga Arts and Culture Award was activated this summer through two beach festivals, one at Edgewater Park and one at Euclid Beach. Both of which were big successes. We had a sand sculpture artist at the events, and this is one it's been a pleasure to see come to fruition. The event changed hands from outdoor experiences to marketing over the course of the year, and Cleveland Metro Parks went through many changes over the course of the year, but we kept our commitment to the grant and successfully executed it, and now we're just working on the final report.
And the last one that we just wanted to show some pictures was last year's award from the Clean Ohio Conservation Fund. We acquired the 16-acre parcel in Bedford Reservation along Tinkers Creek. And the bottom photo is the old Astorhurst Party Center that sat on the property. And then you can see its phases. It came down, and now it is just a level ground, and Natural Resources is working on some restoration there of the Tinkers Creek, of planting trees. I know that Jim Rostrom's crew has taken down some trees there, and so it was just, it's just kind of neat to see it go from some old dilapidated structures to some parkland that can be used by the public. And we just kind of wanted to wrap up and show that we have received about 15 grants in the first half of 2014, and 75% of them were from new sources that had not awarded to Cleveland Metro Parks before.
How did that relate to the same period last year?
That's a good question, but I don't think we looked at that.
We'd have to go back and look. Yeah, we can.
Do you mean in regards to dollar-wise?
Yes.
We received about $4.7 million in grants last year, and we're a little under 1.2 this year, but we also had received two very large transportation alternative grant funds that were close to $2.1 million. So that brought in almost half of the grants last year. So this year those dollars were not really available for us. So there's always ebbs and flows in the grant world based on what's out there available.
But I think the really good story is that you're bringing so many new sources and identifying different places to go. So that's fantastic, doing different projects with them.
Thank you. Okay.
That does conclude the regular portion of the meeting. The next scheduled meeting we have is Friday, date change, Friday, September 12th.
Good.
Motion to adjourn the meeting.
Meeting adjourned.